morning, see what God would have for us. So welcome to each of you. And of course, I want to just add to hopefully, well, Tim already expressed it. And moms, we could never say too much, but let me just add my happy Mother's Day to all you mothers. And you know, it's not, what can you say? I can't say enough. God uses moms to shape lives. God uses moms to touch hearts. Moms matter. And so moms, even though you may not hear that a lot from the kids, you matter. You're making a difference. You may not hear that a lot from hubby or from others, but again, God knows, and there's a well done in your future as you've ministered to your children. You know, I remember a while back, and I get obviously it stuck with me, so it must impress me, but I one time remember hearing a young mother responding to someone saying, well, maybe, you know, maybe your husband can watch the kids today or give you a couple hours. To which she replied, and I still remember that she said, you know, when fathers watch children, it's not babysitting. It's part of being a father. Sometimes moms go like, well, can I have a couple hours? Dad, step up all the time, today and every day. But you matter, moms. Well, we're going through Ephesians chapter 4. Let's all turn there, Ephesians 4, see what God would have for us. By the way, Kathy, my wife Kathy, is in Maine today, other side of the United States. She's been speaking this weekend at the retreat for the Calvary Chapel. It's a women's retreat for the Calvary Chapel in Bangor, Maine. And that is finished. She said it went really well. She'll be winging her way home today, getting home really late tonight. But I understand they took her out for some Maine lobster last night. So, hey, you know, ministry has many rewards, and I guess that's one of them. But anyway, but you know, she sent me a text bright and early this morning. She's on East Coast time. So she sent me a text, and she said this. She said, and I'm quoting the text, she said, give my girls my love. So ladies, I'm extending it verbatim. But that shows her heart. Ladies, sign up for the retreat. She's going to be sharing. And she doesn't do that every time, but she's going to be sharing this time. And I've seen it's on her heart to share and bless you, ladies. And I encourage you, if at all possible, get signed up for the retreat, the women's retreat coming up this very next weekend. It promises to be an awesome, awesome time. Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're at this morning. Allow me to read, starting at verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Excuse me. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want you to imagine that the day of the big football game has arrived. And we picture the team there, the coach and all the players, they're huddled on the sideline getting ready for the big game to start. A great cheer goes up from the crowd. At that point, the coach runs onto the field while the 11 players sit down on the bench to watch how he's going to do. Here's the kickoff, whereupon the coach catches the football but is soon pummeled by the 11 players on the other team. As you watch the coach trying to do it all, you watch him. He tries to throw, catch, block, run. As you watched all that, would you not sit there and say, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This isn't how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a team effort. As the Lord looks upon much of what takes place in the church today, the challenge is, I wonder if he might not say the same thing. Wait a minute, this isn't how it's designed to be. You do know that we take Scripture verse by verse, section by section, right? Because this can come across kind of self-serving in my favor today. I didn't sit there and cherry pick this and say, oh, this, let's skip ahead to this one. We've arrived at this portion of Scripture, but how challenging it is. In the section before us this morning, God sets before us how he designed this whole church thing to work and what the end goal of it is supposed to be. Now, there's much here in this section, in these verses I just read to you, and I plan to take 2 weeks to cover all of it. And yet, it doesn't kind of break real cleanly, so it's going to be kind of intermixed. I guess you just have to come to both. So I invite you to attend both weeks if you're able to. But what we're going to see, though, is each one of us has our part in this. This week, we're going to look at the part we're going to talk, what I've kind of titled Equipping and Working. Next week, the Growing Up part. You could almost call this morning Stepping Up, and next week, Growing Up. But for now, I've just titled it, based on verse 12 there, I've titled our time this morning, Equipping the Saints for the Work. Towards that end, let's pray. Father, you have just soaked us in your love as we have soaked in this awesome letter. And Lord, you've spent so many weeks just revealing to us, reminding us, and just pouring out upon us all the blessings and love you have for us. We thank you, Lord. And yet we recognize that sets the table now for the work you want to do in and through us. Help us, Lord. This morning, our great need is to listen, not just listen with the intent of considering, not just to intellectually consider, but Father, help us hear with the intent of doing. Lord, help us be doers and not just hearers, to the end that you be glorified and your will would be accomplished. So, Lord, keep away the distractions even now, internal and external, and help us hear what you would say to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ephesians chapters 1 through 3, indeed, were all the things that God has done for us. And they've been awesome, awesome verses. All these things that are true for us because we are in Christ. If you've received Christ as Savior, it kept saying, in him, all these things are true. It's talked about how we're redeemed. Our entire destiny's changed, headed for heaven now, through his blood, all by grace. It tells us how we're accepted in the Beloved. God sees us, God the Father sees us in his Son. We're accepted in Jesus. It tells us how we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. God has held back nothing from his children. The list has been long and it has been awesome. Only after God has set all that before us and made sure we understand that, heart understand it, that he gets to chapter 4 and he says, now, based on all that, live like it. Don't go out and live like it to earn it, but because you have these things, now let God live it through you. Go walk worthy, is what he said. It's about a life that it's lived out in response to him and what he's done for us. And verses 1 through 6 of chapter 4, basically, Paul said, walk worthy of your calling. The first thing Paul said that would mark a life that is walked worthy of God's calling, God's work in our life and all, would be one that's marked with unity. Of all the things we saw that God might have picked, the first thing he said was there should be a unity. Guard it. Maintain it. Keep it, he says. Keep that unity, the bond of the Spirit. Live in oneness with your fellow believers and don't let anything divide, was his beginning challenge. But now we come to this next thing that's going to that Paul declares about a life that's walked worthy of all God has done and is doing for us. And what we see is this. It's going to be really based around the fact that every part of the body has been given a gift. And every part is needed in this whole functioning of God's, of the Lord's body. So everyone has a gift he's going to declare, and everyone is to do their share. I'm not going to speak too much of verses 7 through 10. Basically, it's just a number of verses speaking about that Jesus gives gifts. That he ascended, said he who first descended, had now ascended, and in doing so, he has now given gifts to us. Let's jump into verse 11. I believe that's where to be in with this morning. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So again, the point is the Lord gives gifts to his people. And here it's making reference to a certain group of people that these certain gifts are given to. Now, there are what are called the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Paul speaks about them in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. We have those gifts that are available for body ministry. But here, Paul is talking more about what's often labeled the ministry gifts. That God raises up certain people for particular functions in the body, and they're often called the ministry gifts. And here they're labeled as, he calls them as, they are the gift of apostles, prophets, evangelists, and of pastor teachers. My part, I fall on that last one. Called to be a pastor teacher, given the gift as of a pastor teacher. So that's what I'm going to kind of address for just a moment. My part of this whole thing that you and I are involved in here. The Greek here is recognized, by the way, he's speaking of one office. It is true there are people called to be teachers who may not necessarily be pastors, but pastors are teachers, not just to be teachers, but a main calling of a pastor is to be a teacher. And so it's really here, pastor, teacher. My understanding of the Greek here is that that's what the correct way to interpret that. That is speaking of pastor, teachers is the idea. And the word translated pastor is really the word, and I won't try to pronounce it. Tim could, but I won't try. But it's a Greek word that means one who herds and tends flocks as a shepherd. And so the word that's translated pastor, we understand, typically is the Greek word for a shepherd. A pastor is to care for, tend to God's flock. Just like Jesus told Peter, so the commission has gone on that if you're called to be a pastor, teacher, you're called to tend, take care of the sheep. And I have that privilege to do so. But now we come to, for what purpose is that calling? What's the purpose of these ministry gifts? What's the purpose of, be it they with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers? What's the purpose of it all? Well, that brings us to verse 12. Let me read verse 11 and then verse 12 so we kind of see the tie-in, the purpose of these gifts of ministry, why these gifts of ministry are given. Look at verse 11 with me and 12. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Is that what it says? Did I read that correctly? That's what a lot of people think it says. That's what a lot of people think it says, that pastors and teachers, along with these others, are given for the work of the ministry. But is that what it says? No. But most people will tell you that. But let's see how God has set this thing up. Notice this. See, the process that God calls us to here is going to show us this. I have my part, you have your part. I want to be real clear about how God has set this up. To help us lay hold of what the Lord is saying here, I want us to consider verse 12, first of all, in the King James Version. And to help us do that, since you may not have that in your lap right now, I'm going to put the King James Version of verse 12 up. The translation that's interpreting King James says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." That those four ministry offices, particularly a pastor, teacher I'm focusing on, because that's the calling, the privilege God has given me. From looking at the way it's worded there, it would seem that the pastor, teacher, has three callings. That the three callings for the pastor, teacher would be for the perfecting, we're going to see that's equipping, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry, comma, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so, notice that comma between saints, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of the ministry. That makes it sound like the pastor has those three distinct callings. That is my place to equip the saints, do the work of the ministry, do the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's how most people think of it. And maybe that's how they came to think of it. King James Version has been around a long time, and people look at that, and maybe that's what's helped shape this. But there's one problem with it. The comma isn't there between saints and for in the original. Let me explain. It should read like it reads in our new King James Version. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Wait a minute, Pastor. Can we go back to the King James, Pastor? See, it's supposed to be equipping you for you to do the work of the ministry. It was never meant for the pastors to be like the coach who runs on the field while everybody else sits on the sideline, including the players, cheering them on. But too often, that's what's happened. Now, let me show you, in case you have your New International Version, it helps explain it also. It translates this verse, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, there's a progression in all this. It's a teamwork, is the idea. My part, the pastor's part, is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. What does it mean to equip? It says that is my calling, my part is to equip the body. I'm part of the group that has the privilege of helping equip the body. Equipping here, I have the Greek word in front of me. Again, I'll let Tim worry about pronouncing that later for me. But equipping here is translated as a Greek word that means to mend, to repair, to make whole or perfect. They speak of it often as mending nets. It could be spoken of as refitting a ship or the setting of a bone. Basically, it means preparing someone, training them, discipling them. As it says here, mending lives and helping repair and getting people back on track. Pastoring is shepherding, and it's taking care of the sheep. Make sure they're well fed, getting the burrs out of their fur, all those things that trouble sheep can get into. You go pick them up out of the ditch and get them back up in the field and all, and that's part of pastoring. You're shepherding them. So that's the calling, to equip the sheep, that they might do the work of the ministry. But down through the years, it's evolved where if you're not directly involved in pulpit ministry or something, then too many become observers. And that's not the way God wants it to be. Now, how does equipping happen? First and primary, my calling, the biblical scriptural calling, the manner in which I am to equip, help equip you, is teaching the Word of God. That's the primary means that believers are built up and encouraged and strengthened, and that is to teach the Word of God. Remember, the calling is pastor, teacher. How is that done? How is that to be done? What support do I have for that? Let me just point out a couple. How are we equipped? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, here it is, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How are you to be equipped to handle what comes along, to minister to others, to point out the good news to them, to encourage them to lean on the Lord in the midst of what they're going through, whatever it is? How are you to be equipped? My part is to hold before you Scripture, God's Word. It is through that means that the person of God may be complete, mature, thoroughly equipped. It's my calling to hold forward the Word. Acts 2:42. This is what marked the very beginning, the early church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice that point. The very first thing mentioned, and it points out what the apostles were about, was they were to hold forward the doctrine, the teaching of God's Word, the foundational truths that God was revealing and had revealed and all. They were to hold forward. Remember when the church started to grow, and they came in and said, "We're getting to be too many." And there was a dispute about how the food was being distributed and all. Well, remember the apostles, Peter and them, responded. They said, "Okay, then let's pick out some good guys to help take care of the distribution of the food and all to meet needs." They said, "But it's not right that we should leave the teaching of God's Word to go distribute food." We see that they understood their calling was, they said, prayer and the teaching of God's Word. And so that's the great need of all the sheep, spiritually speaking, sheep, is to be well fed. And we feed our lives, feed on the Word of God. So clear, expositional teaching of the Word of God is my commission. It's either for me to do directly or, of course, to have those around here do that so that when Tim teaches or Kathy's teaching you ladies, that it's the clear Word of God that's being held forward. I'm not saying we're the only place to get a good meal spiritually, but I pray that we're always one of them. I pray that wherever you might wander, if you get out there someday, perhaps you start going to another fellowship or something, you start realizing, you know what? There's a lot of entertainment going on around here, a lot of dessert, but I need a good meal. I hope you know you can always come back and get a good meal here. May this pulpit always be a place where you can get a good meal spiritually, good, solid, expositional teaching of God's Word together. Paul admonished Timothy, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. So all I'm doing is using all these to drive home that point that the pastor's call is first and foremost to hold forward the Word of God. There's a lot of pressure on pastors today. The encouragement, of course, is be relevant. And it wouldn't hurt if you're entertaining. And put on some glitz and glamour. And people are drawn to that, of course. You know, stir up the emotions and appeal to my senses. And there's all that, and there's a lot of competition for bodies. Get people to come attend, to get the numbers up. Whatever it takes, get the numbers up. Be contemporary. Now, there's nothing wrong with good illustrations and using contemporary examples and all. But this is the call. Equip the believers. And how? Teach the Word. Because that's what you need in the end. I don't claim to be, you know, I don't dance around too much up here and be Mr. Entertainer and all. And I guess I just, I grew up under Pastor Chuck up at Calvary Costa Mesa. Pastor Chuck stands. Pastor Chuck says for years, his wife said, move around. Move around up there. Get a little animation. Get moving a little bit. You know, be like Billy Graham or something. Pastor Chuck said so. He said at the beginning he tried it. Pastor Chuck said so. He tried to get a little animated and he'd get out of there teaching. Well, he said he'd get about this far and forget what he's supposed to say. He'd have to get back real quick to his notes. Oh, yeah, this is where I am. And that's what he had to do. And it wasn't him. He didn't dance around. He just sat there and taught and taught. And boy, did we grow. And we were hungry. We ate it up hour after hour because there's clear teaching of the Word. Just meat and potatoes, spiritually speaking. All those things that we needed. So that's the first calling. But I believe there's another way that I'm called to equip believers. And that's to encourage each of us to live with the sensitivity to the whole work of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who's given to us to lead us into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit who takes the Word and illuminates it to our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that can take it from being just an intellectual exercise into a heart response. To go from religion to relationship and all. It's the Holy Spirit's work that does that. It's the Holy Spirit who comforts us and guides us. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us those gifts and enables us and gives us the power to do the work of the ministry. For the calling isn't to go do this on our own, but to let Him work in us and through us. It's not meant to stop at us. Excuse me. That on that job or that, you know, in the workplace, the home, the school, that we'd be available and we'd act upon it when opportunities come along. And it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do that. Remember, that's what the disciples needed at first. Remember, we just got through with Acts, finished Acts a little while back. And we saw in the book of Acts, they were commissioned to go tell this world. But what did He say? But Jesus told them, excuse me, don't you go move a step, He said. You stay right here until what? Until you receive power from on high. Until you receive that anointing, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, the coming upon you, the Holy Spirit. They needed the Holy Spirit to fulfill their calling. Same for us. So that's why you often hear myself and others around here encourage all of us. Don't shy away from the work of the Holy Spirit. Just say, well, I just got my studies. I'll study the Bible. I know the Word. That's part of it. But we need the empowering of the person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And that's an area of great concern for me. Far too many of us do not live with an expectancy and an availability to all the Holy Spirit has for us. Somehow we kind of, oh, it's going to be weird. What's it about? And then we'll just leave that alone. And we miss out on so much. And we wonder why we struggle, why we're not used. What are we missing? We're missing just a real availability, a responsive availability to the Holy Spirit. But see, I found it's in that place that we experience so much of what God wants to do. And what He has for us as we yield to His promptings, His empowering in our lives. And you know what? You'll never regret going for it. I received the Lord while I was in the military. Got out of the service in 73. Yes, I know, for you that are young, me and my dinosaur used to ride around. I'd enlisted from Orange County, went back to Orange County, settled there in Costa Mesa, began to attend a church that was just on fire, exploding there. They're meeting in a big circus tent back then. Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Kathy and I, we began attending there at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. We were sitting there for a while, and we were just so blown away by the teachers, the clear teaching that, you know what, you can know God. God loves you, and you can know Him. It's about a personal relationship. God is good, and God loves you. And we had never heard that kind of thing. We're just soaking in it. And we were sitting there and we started saying, you know, we're getting, well, make sure you hear this clearly. I'm going to say we realize we're getting to be fat sheep. Now, that doesn't speak of, I'll let you make your own conclusion there. But spiritually speaking, we're getting to be fat sheep. We're taking it in. This is cool. This is blessed. We're growing. This is great stuff. But we started saying, you know, it's time to start being available. Start passing some of this on. Anyway, the point is, we heard about a little personal evangelism class that a guy named Greg Laurie was beginning to teach. Just only about 20 or 30 of us in there. We were in there. Somebody walks in at that point and said, you know, we're doing these Saturday night concerts. Now, if you were around Calvary Costa Mesa in those days, those were a big tool to bring many people to the Lord. And they needed help. And Kathy and I go, well, they want new believer counseling and all. Point is, we step forward, and here we are today. Now, there were a few steps along the way. But the point is, never regretted it. Never regretted it. And it was just stepping forward to, well, God, what would you have? And that first stepping forward involved not just new believer counseling, but vacuuming. It wasn't just vacuuming, it was raking the shag carpet. Anybody remember shag carpets? So after the concert was done, we had to clean the toilets and clean all the windows and rake the shag carpeting and all. It was all that part of it, to the end that people could come and get blessed and all and hear about the Lord and all. But we learned the blessing of just jumping on board. It wasn't heavy, but I'm asking you, are you getting to be a fat sheep? Is it time to say, hey, Lord, work through me, not just in me. I encourage you to consider it. You'll never regret it. We certainly haven't. But now the verse goes on. Look at the rest of verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So, the teaching goes forward. The equipping goes forward. To the end that then you begin to respond and be available, and God works. Next step, so that the body, so that all will be built up. Edify means to build up. Still struggling with my cold, as you can tell. Shake my hand at you're warned on the way out. But notice this. All have their part. Because what's the goal of the building up? Verse 13. Till we all, not just some, all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There's much here. I'm not going to try to get to it all. We're going to have to leave all the rest of this till next week. But I want to make a point here, some closing points about this verse here. There'll be a building up, it says, until we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Now, perfect there is a translation of a word that means mature, complete, full grown. As God works in and through all of us towards one another, we grow, we mature together. But all are needed in that. But we see a goal here is that we would grow to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Namely, we're to become Christ-like. And we do that as we're used, as we surrender, as we're available. He works that work in us and through us, that Christ-likeness towards one another. But notice this. It says there that we're to be, New King James, to a perfect man. It means to be mature, full-grown. Going to jump down to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things. Verse 16, the very last part of verse 16, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What am I saying? Lord willing, as we meet next week, we're going to look at this more in depth. But a major goal in all this equipping, that we might serve, that we might have unity, there might be this building up work, it's all going to kind of come under this. A major goal in all this is that we might grow into all God would have us to be. We step up that we might grow up. We step up to help ourselves and others grow up in the Lord. Now, may I say this? Many of you You're not sitting on the sidelines. I gave the example of a football team that says, okay, go get him, coach. Hope you make it. We're going to cheer you on. And he keeps getting creamed. But many of you, you're not sitting on the sidelines. You're not on the sidelines. Many of you are in the game. By the time I get here on a Sunday morning, the ushers are here getting things rolling. Throughout the morning, we have greeters and ushers and so many doing so many things. Teachers, we got our high school, junior high, so many serving so many ways, fellowship hall. Throughout the week, we have different things going on, different ministries. Many of you are reaching, letting God use you. And that's just here. But I recognize many of you are impacting your work, your home, your community. You are sharing the gospel. I do not make light of that. You're not on the sidelines. You are in the game. Thank you. You are a blessing to everybody here at Jericho Road for sure. And a blessing to God, for that's your calling. And I hope today has simply been an encouragement to you to keep it up. That you are indeed, you are a part of this chain that's going on. You are serving, and that's awesome. So thank you, and I thank God for each of you. But if you are someone who's been on the sidelines, I hope you don't hear this as condemnation, but I do hope your encouragement as it's time to get in the game. You won't regret it. And I know sometimes you're like, well, I don't have the time. What do I know? It's not about us. So many times people come to me and say, I want to serve, but I don't think I can do it. I don't know if I have what it takes. And I go, well, yeah. I relate to that one. I really do. And I say this sometimes. People go, well, yeah, Pastor. I am so, if God doesn't do this, when I step out here, if God doesn't do this, every time I get in here, I'm fried. But he does. He's faithful because all he's looking for is vessels. So I encourage you, don't look at your abilities, how you think he's going to do it. Just be available and watch what God does in and through your life. I encourage you, haven't yet, I encourage you, get in the game. You know, if you get in the game and when you get to heaven, you feel like you got ripped off, you let me know. Come on. You know, Pastor Dale, you'll be, thank you, God. As those crowns are given out and we get the well done and just rejoice. Because all can go right back. It gives him glory. But now this, to all of us, what's the goal of the game? The goal of a football game, score some touchdowns. Score more points than the other team. What's the goal of this game, the analogy I'm using here? What's the goal? Why does he say equip the believers so they can do the service, the work of the ministry for this building up? Where's it all going? Next week, growing up in love. You can invite the worship team up. I invite you back next week, Lord willing, as we explore deeper this growing up. Come join us. But for this week, look at verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Going to spend some time responding to the Lord, worshiping the Lord right now. If you need altar time, it's up here. No one's going to bug you. Maybe you just want to come up and just kind of recommit to whatever God's called you to do. Maybe you want to come up and just say, Lord, help me receive all the power, the enabling you have for me to fulfill that calling. Maybe you want to come up and just kind of let the Lord know, Lord, I've been warming the bench too long. I want to get in the game. Lord, whatever that means, lead me. Here I go. No one's going to bug you or ask you, but it's available for that purpose. Let's pray. Father, that you love us, that you would love us is beyond really us taking in completely. But we thank you. And Lord, thank you if you designed this thing that it wouldn't stop at us. So Lord, work in and then through all of us. And I do thank you for the many, many, many you've touched. And just the body ministry that's going on even now in our fellowship. We give you thanks. And we pray you get all the glory. But keep stirring us, Lord. Needs all around us. Home, community, work, wherever it might be. Help us, Lord. May your word continue to go forward clearly. May we all, Lord, help us all be very available to the Holy Spirit's work. And Lord, do that work only you can do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.